Well, ladies, welcome back to the table. We are here with teacher Connie Stampfel. Hello, Connie. How are you doing today?
I am well, thanks. Hi, Amy.
Oh, hi. We're doing lesson 27 today in the book of Genesis, and I know that we're continuing the covenant with Abram. Is there a particular focus for today?
Well, I think it's really about God's gracious assurance to Abram.
All right, ladies, lesson 27 starts Genesis 15, verses 1 through 19. We'll stop halfway through. I'll read and Connie will teach. Verse 1, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Fear not, Abram, I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. But Abram said, O Lord God, what will you give me, for I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, behold, you have given me no offspring, and a member of my household will be my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, this man shall not be your heir, your very own son shall be your heir. And he brought him outside and said, look toward heaven and number the stars, if you are able to number them. Then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. And he believed the Lord, and he counted it to him as righteousness.
Thank you, Amy. And so we find here in the first part of the chapter, right after those events where we had Abram having the great victory over those four kings and rescuing Lot and being blessed by Melchizedek, then we find that the Lord says, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. And the Lord says, fear not, Abram, I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great, which is what an incredible word of blessing. And there's a couple, many places in Scripture where it talks about God being our shield, the one who's going to be our protector, and he will take care of us. And as women, I just want us to focus on that for a moment, because our God is a mighty shield for us. And so there's some scriptures that talk about God being our shield, which I'm going to have Amy read, because we just need to soak in that for a moment.
That's a really good idea. Psalm chapter 3, verse 3, but you, O Lord, are a shield about me, my glory and the lifter of my head. And Psalm 84, verse 11 says, for the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. And finally, as Psalm 119, verse 114 says, you are my hiding place and my shield. I hope in your word.
Thank you, Amy. And I think we're going to see as we go through this passage that Abram really was hoping in God's word. Because the next thing we find is that Abram says, O Lord God, what will you give me, for I continue childless? And he talks about how his heir is going to be a servant in his household. And I believe it shows us that Abram was a friend of God, and he prayed, he talked back and forth to God, and he wasn't asking in lack of faith, but he was asking for the Lord to show him some things. And what a beautiful picture of, you know, questioning God and listening and desiring to know what God's full plan is. And then we find that God says, behold, the word of the Lord came to him and said, this man shall not be your heir. Your very own son shall be your heir. And so we find Abram has given God's word, his assurance that he is going to have his own son, who will be the one from whom all these descendants will come. And then the Lord brought him outside and showed him the stars in the sky and said, as numerous as the stars in the sky shall be your descendants. We just learned about how the dust of the earth was a picture of his descendants. Now it's the stars in the sky. And so God is graciously giving him a picture of what it's going to look like. And then we find beautiful words in Scripture. Verse 6 says, and he believed the Lord, and the Lord counted it to him as righteousness. Mm. And the word for believe there doesn't mean that Abram started believing right that moment. It actually is kind of a continuation of Abram's belief. And I truly believe throughout our story and looking at Genesis and Abram, every time Abram took God at his word and obeyed, he was believing God. And I think his faith grew throughout his time. And as we go through Abram's journey and see his ultimate test in chapter 22, I think we're going to really see how God is working in and through him to build him in the faith. But the message for us is God looks to our faith, and that's how we are counted with righteousness. And that's something that comes up several times in the New Testament. And I'll have Amy look at those scriptures and just read one of them. But three times it talks about how Abraham's faith was counted to him as righteousness.
I like this one in Romans chapter 4, verse 3. It says, for what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness.
All right. And so Abram pleased God because of his faith, not because of his works. The faith came first, and then the obedience followed. Going on, though, we're going to find God is going to be even more gracious to Abram, and he's going to do a formal ceremony that's going to really help cement and ratify and help Abram to understand that God will accomplish his purposes. So, Amy, if you'd read the rest of the chapter, please.
All right, starting at verse 7, and he said to him, I am the Lord who brought you out from Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to possess. But he said, O Lord God, how am I to know that I shall possess it? He said to him, bring me a heifer 3 years old, a female goat 3 years old, a ram 3 years old, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And he brought him all of these, cut them in half, and laid half over each of the other. But he did not cut the birds in half. And when the birds of prey came down on the carcasses, Abram drove them away. As the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell on Abram. And behold, dreadful and great darkness fell upon him. Then the Lord said to Abram, know for certain that your offspring will be sojourners in a land that is not theirs, and will be servants there, and they will be afflicted for 400 years. But I will bring judgment on the nation that they serve, and afterward they shall come out with great possessions. As for you, you shall go to your fathers in peace. You shall be buried in a good old age, and they shall come back here in the fourth generation, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet complete. When the sun had gone down and it was dark, behold, a smoking fire pot and a flaming torch passed between these pieces. On that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, to your offspring I give this land, from the river of Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates, the land of the Kenites, the Kenizzites, and the Canaanites.
All right. Thank you so much, Amy. Well, here we find God doing a formal treaty ceremony with Abram, which is what was done in that day between perhaps a king and a vassal. And what they did is they would cut animals apart and separate the halves, and then the two parties of the treaty would actually walk between those cut halves. And the idea was, if you break the treaty, may I be like these dead animals cut apart and split in two. Interestingly enough, though, as we read through this, we find that only God, symbolized by the smoking fire pot and the torch, goes through the pieces, because Abram is asleep. Yeah. And it speaks to the fact that this is a covenant that only God could completely keep. Abram wasn't able to unconditionally keep this covenant, but God is guaranteeing that he will make happen what he has said to Abram. And Abram has already demonstrated faith that he's following God, and he is doing actually his part of being a blessing. But God is in a very beautiful ceremony assuring Abram that this will happen. Wonderful, wonderful picture for us. But truly, as we go through this, we're going to see God's covenants are certain. And anything God says, he will do. And that's a beautiful thing for us, because all those promises in Jesus Christ also come true for us. We can count on those. Looking at this, though, interestingly enough, God tells us a few more things. We find out this something about birds coming and trying to pick apart the animals that are on the carcasses, and Abram has to shoo them off. And it's probably a picture of people that are against God's covenant with his people, and even what may happen to the children of Israel when they're in Egypt for 400 years and suffer and are afflicted and under slavery. Because then God goes on and he says something more about how Abram's descendants are going to be afflicted for 400 years in Egypt. We talked already a couple days ago about how Abram's descendants, the children of Israel, will go to Egypt because of a famine, and they are going to be afflicted there for a while, but they will come out with great possessions. We also see in this passage that God has his own timing, because it's going to happen when the sin or the iniquity of the Amorites reaches its full measure. And so our God is a God who judges at the right time, and when the evil has reached the point where he determines it's the right time. And so that's what's going to happen, is when Israel comes back into the land, they are going to be called to destroy these people who are so incredibly wicked that it's the time for judgment. Interestingly enough, think about Abram here. He's thinking about his descendants and this time of trial for them, and I'm sure it must have been somewhat upsetting to him, but also at the same time, he's holding on to God's promise of what God will do, which is a beautiful thing. And then at the end of this passage, we find that God is promising again, and he's revealing more of this promise to Abram about the extent of the land that he will give to his descendants. It's going to go from the river Euphrates to the river of Egypt, and it's a huge expanse of territory, which truly Israel has never completely possessed. During the reign of Solomon, they occupied and they had vassal states in some of those areas, but they never spread out and fully occupied all that land. And so this is a promise that has not yet fully come to be. Ultimately, though, what we're doing is we're seeing that God has made promises to Abram. He will keep those promises. And in Abram, of course, all of those promises are going to be blessed. Finally, though, I think we need to just fast forward to the New Testament and consider how Jesus Christ is the one who fully kept the covenant of God by being the law keeper, but then he also suffered the curse of sin for us, the lawbreakers. And so really in Christ, God is keeping both sides of the covenant, and he's bearing the punishment of breaking the covenant, but it's all for our benefit.
Oh, amen. Thank you so much, Connie. There's so much in this lesson that we really need to dwell on. And Nancy's going to help me do that in just a moment. We'll take a break and be right back.